WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Wednesday, November 3rd. Coming up, this year marks the 40th anniversary of the first documented case of AIDS in the U.S. We'll hear from Danville native Arlen Miller, who lost his partner to the disease, coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Governor J.B. Pritzker yesterday got his COVID-19 booster shot a little over 7 months after getting vaccinated. The governor is urging eligible Illinoisans to get their boosters and join the more than 800,000 adults in the state who have already gotten their supplemental dose.
There's no waiting. There are plenty of booster shots available. They're everywhere. You can get them at pharmacies. You can get them at your own doctor's office. They're virtually ubiquitous.
Pritzker opted for the one-dose Johnson & Johnson vaccine in March, but yesterday got a booster dose of Pfizer. Federal regulators have okayed mixing different types of vaccines. Children ages 5 to 11 will also be eligible for their COVID shots in Illinois beginning next week. Urbana residents stepped up one after another at this week's city council meeting to argue against the purchase of roadside devices that would track passing cars' license plates. Supporters of the devices say they would help curb local gun violence by identifying suspects and witnesses near crime scenes. Opponents say they have concerns for the privacy of motorists who might just be passing by. Brandy McCoy, an Urbana resident who spoke at the meeting on Monday, says cameras won't fix the city's crime problem.
Gun violence is more than a bad guy issue. We need to recognize the connection poverty and depravity has to violent crime and address the root causes of the problem.
Council members who have previously delayed making a decision on the readers did not take action on the issue. Urbana High School students and staff may soon walk through AI-powered metal detectors to get to class. The District 116 Board of Education spent last night debating whether to install the new technology called Evolve Express. Unlike with traditional metal detectors, students would not need to wait in line or place their bags in a scanner. The sensors can identify the metal barrels and slides of guns, even as groups of visitors walk by. Urbana Superintendent Jennifer Ivory Tatum says rising community violence has left staff drained.
They're doing patrolling and supervision and trying to stay in front of just one more thing happening every single day. It's draining, it's exhausting. And if we don't do something, we're going to continue to lose good people because people, it's so stressful right now. You guys just don't even imagine.
Research indicates that metal detectors are not an efficient way to prevent school violence. Evolve Express is too new to fit into those studies. Urbana would solicit proposals from other companies before voting whether to adopt Evolve Express. The Champaign Unit 4 District has already started the process of installing metal detectors after guns were confiscated at school this fall. Still to come, we'll hear from Danville native Arlen Miller, who lost his partner to AIDS more than 30 years ago. This year marks the 40th anniversary of the first confirmed case of the disease. That story's coming up next on 217 Today.
News, brews, and beats, an after-work experience for diverse voices to engage in breakthrough conversations and realistic solutions for what's being done to combat community gun violence. Join us Monday, November 15th at 6 p.m. at Poor Brothers Tap Room on University Avenue in Champaign. Details at will.illinois.edu.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. This year marks the 40th anniversary of the first documented case in the U.S. of what would go on to be called AIDS. Reporter Maureen McKinney is examining the early years of the epidemic and what's happened since. She spoke with Danville native Arlen Miller, who tells the story of how he lost his partner, Mike Walsh, more than three decades ago.
I went to learn how to be an AIDS buddy. My partner, Mike, happened to be at the training, and we met during a break. Started dating pretty quickly thereafter. He was one of the smartest guys that I ever knew. He had a killer combination of devastating blue eyes, good looks, and a great sense of humor. And he went to law school at University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. He had a lot of offers from a lot of high-powered law firms, and he decided that he didn't want to do that, and he wanted to go into civil rights law. In retrospect, I think he was at that AIDS buddy training looking for a partner who would take care of him. And so he found him. could I continue the relationship with him and stay safe myself? And the answer to that was yes. So we just kind of went for it. And we were together 2.5 years before he died. We had a few dates and actually in bed one morning and proceeded to lecture me about how I needed to be more careful, and then told me that one of the reasons I needed to be more careful was because he was HIV positive. He was on an experimental AIDS treatment, and he got onto that protocol because they were conducting the study. And primarily he did that because he didn't have medical insurance, and that was a way for him, one, to get on a protocol with a drug that might be life-saving, and two, to have regular medical care. And then in August of 1990, he started having a lot of headaches all the time. Long story short, it turned out to be an AIDS-related brain tumor. It was really only a couple of months from the time he really got sick until he died. He ended up going into the hospital. That was when I kind of told his sister-in-law, it's like, you need to tell his family if they ever want to see him again and see the person that they knew, they need to come now. You know, everybody kind of got to see him while he was still with it. And then he was in the hospital for a couple of weeks, and the nurse took me aside and said, okay, well, it's time for Mike to go home. They just kind of took us through the Cliff Notes version of how to help someone die. And that included, you know, saying, well, you know, he's obviously never going to get better. So when he starts getting really sick, then it's all about comfort measures. And that's all you care about, is just keeping him comfortable until he dies. So they loaded me up with cotton swabs that had lemon and glycerin to swab his mouth out with. And then they gave me liquid morphine and kind of gave me the Cliff Notes on how to use that. It got to the point where he lapsed into a coma, and I want to say it was like 2.5 weeks. All we listened to every day was his rasping breath. The last week, I was sleeping on a little wicker sofa next to Mike's bed, and I fell asleep, and what woke me up was the absence of the rasping breath, and it was like the room was silent. And I walked over to his bedside, and he had stopped breathing. And so I put my hand on his chest and said his name. And then there was like all of a sudden this huge intake of breath. And that was it. Went to the door of Carl's bedroom and knocked on the door and said, Carl, can you come up here? I let him know that Mike had died. And he's like, okay, I'm going to go get my mom and dad because I want my mom to be able to hug him while he's still warm. And as mom and dad came and said their goodbyes, and then we called the coroner, and then I watched them take him out of the house in a body bag. And that was it. Mike just really symbolized, you know, the waste of a whole generation of gay men left. And, you know, the rest of us just had to pick up the pieces.
That was Danville native Arlen Miller, who lost his partner Mike Walsh more than 3 decades ago. He told his story to mark the 40th anniversary of the first documented AIDS case in the U.S. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see partly cloudy skies today with a high of 48 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Farrah Anderson, Emily Hayes, and Maureen McKinney. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.